I'm sensitive to these sounds. Plant down a lotus and attempt the ground. Knowing if I fail to lift the veil, I'm hellbound. Journey through the fate of all the hate I found. Done laying out the layman's for these lames, big clowns. We can still throw down pound for pound. If you choose to drag my name through the mud with no bounds. Scars go deep, but the passion can shift. Trying to find a balance between anger and bliss. Searching for my purpose when success is a myth. I thought I knew the gist of the plot, but it came with a twist. Had it all mapped out, but none of the pieces fit. Abandonment issues got me doing the split. Realizing I didn't really need what I wish. Got sick of getting tricked into giving the devil a kiss.
Welcome to the side of hell. They got me under a spell. And I got a story to tell. As soon as I break out of this shell. Welcome to the side of hell.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sarah, and welcome to Porters to the Paranormal podcast. Now, this evening, or morning, or even lunchtime, should I say, wherever you're watching from, we have a very special guest, and I'm super excited to have her on. She is an international psychic medium. Shall we just bring her on, shall we? Because let's introduce the lovely Sarah Lemos.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. It's so good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was a couple of summers ago, wasn't it, when we chatted last?
It's been a while.
Yeah. I think I did something very unprofessional at one point. I had the willies because we were talking about creepy things, and there was a weird buzzing sound. And if I remember rightly, it was summertime. And unprofessionally, I got up to investigate because I thought, oh, is it a fire or is it a ghost? And you know what? When we finished the podcast, I went and had a look properly, and it was one of them flipping stag beetles. And I thought, all I could hear was this weird buzzing sound. I thought, oh my gosh.
I think that's professional, if you ask me. I mean, as a professional, you know, if you got to investigate, you got to investigate.
Yeah. Well, it was debunked. It was a big old beetle. Oh, dear me. Well, you look fabulous, Sarah. Thank Great you. Name, by the way.
Right?
Yeah, I'm Sarah. I'm excited to know. We've got lots of new viewers and followers, and they are excited to know as well that they might not know about you. So I know that you've been speaking to the paranormal since you were the age of five. I was wondering if you could let the new viewers know what you're all about, Sarah.
So, you know, I started when I was really young. I was able to see spirit. I didn't talk to spirit, but I was able to see spirit. And then as I got older into my teens, as many of you might have experienced yourself, things would move around or shake. There was weird noises, or televisions would turn on and off. So there was a lot of paranormal activity that happened around me. As I got older as an adult, that's kind of when I settled in and was ready to take this gift on and not see it as a curse anymore. Because honestly, as a kid, it scared me. As a teenager, I didn't want it. I wanted to be like everybody else. And then as an adult, I was like, you know what? I'm ready to bring this on. I'm ready to see what this has to offer.
Wow. And how did your family deal with that? Did they support you in it, or did they try and shake
you up? No. My husband at the time, ex-husband now, I came home and I said, you know what? I'm a medium. I'm a psychic. I am not going to deny who I am anymore. I am, you know, which I'm sure for him was a startle, you know, you're a what? You do what? You know, so I understand that to a point. But he turned and looked at me and said, are you going to lie to people? And I said, of course I'm not going to lie to people. And he's like, well, then how do you expect this? You know, how do you, you know, what are you doing? And I was like, it'll be proven to you. And within the year, that man believed me. Because of everything that happened in our house, everything that happened to him. So it took 1 year, but he believed me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So how did your gifts work? Because I see you on the telly and you've always got your palms out, like you're feeling your spider sensor is tingling. Yep. How does it work for you? How does spirit connect?
So spirit is through feeling. So I feel everything. Even when I do my readings, because I do readings every day, and I use the sense of feeling. So when a spirit comes in, I immediately sense in or feel into how they died, the type of life they had is through feelings. And I've learned that different pains in my body have a meaning. It's like a dictionary. My body's a dictionary. And if something here hurts, I know what that means. If something is over here and I have a sensation here, I know what that means. But also I'm a seer. So I'm someone who sees things that happen, like a movie or photographs being thrown in my face.
I see you doodling as well when you're on location. Sometimes you're drawing what you're feeling. Does that come through as a picture in your mind that you have to let out?
Yes, that's exactly it, Sarah. Oh. So it's something I have to get out. So when you're, it's different when you're filming. So because you can't just interrupt people. Like when I'm on an investigation, if something comes through, I just say it. But when you're filming, you have to wait your turn. So it's like, if I get it doodled down, if I draw it out, it doesn't build inside of me, because when information comes through, it builds up. I don't know about other people out there, but for me, it builds up and I'm like, oh, I have to get it out. So drawing is very helpful for me. Plus then I don't forget.
Yeah. And do you feel like you can switch off sometimes? Is it always with you? Will you be in a supermarket and something's trying to come through and you're like, I'm busy, I'm trying to get my tomatoes for my sandwich?
No, that's a great question. Yeah. For me, you know, I've never really learned how to turn it off. I don't know if it's because I've been doing it since I was 5, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's just a part of who I am. I mean, I'll be watching television at night and someone will walk into my house.
Oh.
I will be using the restroom and someone will walk in. There's not really a time where I haven't learned that yet. It's not something that I've learned to do. It's not that I'm not trying. It's just something that hasn't happened yet.
Does it infuriate you sometimes? Because you just want to get on with your day-to-day life and it doesn't feel like you've got any sort of privacy sometimes, I guess.
When I'm sleeping. So sleep is important to me. I love my sleep. And so when sometimes I've had experiences where spirit has literally pushed on my forehead to wake me up, and I woke up to a young man standing there and I said, if you keep this up, I'm not doing the reading tomorrow. And he says, but my mom's coming tomorrow. And he kept doing this to my forehead. My mom is coming tomorrow. My mom is. And I said, honey, I'm not doing the reading if you keep pushing on my forehead. Cause I had to sleep so that I could, you know, show up and do my job the next day. So there are times where I get a little frisky and say, hey, no more.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to, you got to draw the line, haven't you, Sarah?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we've got a question. What's the question? Sorry. Quickly then.
Sorry,
my husband.
Hey, everyone. Sorry, Sarah, I was just listening to what you were saying, and you were saying that you haven't learned how to switch it off yet. Mm-hmm. So you're saying that a lot of it's based on feelings.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you go into locations or go play, some of it is quite a sad story to tell.
Yes.
So how do you find a way to brush it off? Like when you're finished the investigation or when you're done what you're doing, how do you relieve yourself from that story that you've learned and you've been fed, you know?
No, I love that. It's a great question.
Bye, everyone. I'll let you go
now. That was a great question. So the thing about it is, guys, is, you know, a lot of places I go, there's a very sad story. Many, many locations that still have energy there is because that energy is sad or angry, you know, is a more powerful emotion. So you're right. When I go in, I'm sensing a lot of sadness or a lot of anger or a lot of that type of energy. And so for me, grounding afterwards and understanding that I've done everything I can for that person and that story. So I will say, you know, it's time to, you know, move on to the next energy and leave that energy behind. So grounding down is very important to me. What you guys call earthing, right?
Yeah.
And so earthing down, and then I usually see a waterfall wash away the energy. And so, and then I keep myself busy, to be honest with you. Like, I keep my mind busy. I turn music on. I do different things to get me out of that energy.
Do you have any, you don't have to answer this question, but do you have any religious beliefs? Do you have any feelings that you're being protected by a higher being?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And I'm, you know, it's weird too, Sarah. I've always had it. Even I grew up in a family that wasn't very religious. My grandma was, but my mom was not, because my grandma was. But I always had a connection to what people would call God. And I've always had it. And from, I'm telling you, I wasn't taught it. I just knew it. And so I've always felt like there's a spirit, an energy, a God, whatever people want to call it, that absolutely has my back.
And what do you think happens to you when you die? Do you feel like you're changing, you go to heaven, or you just hang about a bit, or do you get reincarnated? What are your beliefs?
So that's a really good question. I feel that when we die, we become connected to the all that is one. And I know that's a lot to say, but I believe we are all connected. And when our body no longer works for us, spiritually, we move on. And some people say, but our brain doesn't. And I understand that. Like, people, like, our brain doesn't. But I believe there's a lot that is infused with our soul. Okay. So when we move on, I believe we take a lot with us. And that being an understanding, a connection, and I believe we return to the light. So a lot of people would call that heaven, because that's what it's been depicted as. So I would say we go to heaven, and I would say that's only 3 feet away. Sylvia Brown talked about this. And when she said this, it just was like, yes. We are only 3 feet away from our loved ones. I do not believe we descend, like we like shoot up into the sky or what have you. I believe that heaven is only 3 feet away.
Oh, that's a lovely thought. It does. Also, some people believe that being a psychic medium or having these gifts are hereditary. Is anybody in your family, like grandmas or any, if you've got like children, or do they have an element of being psychic? Is it something that's been passed down to you? Or
I believe that everyone has the ability to be psychic, that every single person has the ability to be psychic. But I believe too that it absolutely is DNA, because on both sides of my family, I have, now I didn't know this till I was much older, nobody talked about this to me. But then all of a sudden my dad was like, oh yeah, your grandma on this side used to play with cards. And, you know, and it came out about so my mother is also very gifted. My brother is gifted. And both of my children are gifted.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I do believe it runs in families.
Do you have any Irish or English heritage there? Because sometimes it can be from old country or even...
I very much believe in that. I very much believe in that. I've never had my test done. I need to do that. I'm going to do that this year. I will tell you, I've been to Ireland 4 times. Yeah. And I remember on Halloween, I came and I went back to where the original fire was lit for All Hallows Eve. And one of the ladies that was cloaked, she took my hand and you can get readings from them as you walk up to the, up the path. And she said, welcome home. Wow. And when she said that, I had lightning bolts shoot through my body. I was like, I'm going to have to find out if I'm from Ireland. So that would be interesting.
I did Ancestry, and it's amazing what you can find out. And through your DNA as well, all these connections start happening and you start meeting family that you didn't even know you had. And it's really interesting because they analyze every thread of your DNA. Yeah. And you can have all sorts in there, Sarah.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Oh, so getting back to the old paranormal. There's you've been on TV quite a bit. I don't want to name drop, but there's been like Portals to Hell, my favorite, I have to say, we mentioned this last time, is Ghost. I like the Ghost Town Terrors. I really did enjoy that. But my absolute favorite is the Ghosts of Morgan City. And I was hooked on that big time. Thank you. Why do you think that there's so much paranormal? You know, you go to all these different places and they're really hyped in paranormal activity. Mm-hmm. But Morgan City is booming, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Jeez, yeah, and I'm going back there next Friday. Oh. I'm going back to visit. Yeah. So I'm really excited. But yeah, you know, I think Louisiana, it has, you know, there's different places in the US, and I'm sure there's places near you guys where a lot of tragic stuff has happened. And because of the storms that come through Louisiana, they've had many, many deaths. They've had to rebuild over and over again. And I think there's something about that energy that creates chaos.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. It was so strong, wasn't it? There's a few of my favorite episodes that I liked. The girl, was it episode one, the ghost girl? That really gave me the willies. And also my ultimate favorite was when you captured that full-bodied apparition, the woman walking through. And it was funny because I think one of your producers like, yeah, get in there, sir. You have to go trotting in and reenact all that stuff. I think we've got a clip. If we make to play it, we'll show everybody what happened.
It was
as I'm watching this.
Oh, we're gonna watch it.
Yeah,
yes,
right, we're gonna whack it on now.
Yeah,
okay. As I'm watching this on Four Squares, let me show you what show you what we freaking captured. Watch right here.
Okay.
Just watch. Oh my gosh. Watch, watch.
Okay, okay.
Right about here.
Oh my God! Kill me!
Throw that again! Throw it again! Throw it again!
Holy! Watch them! And I was here watching it live. I know for a fact. Nobody came in or out of that house, and I was watching it live as I'm reviewing these EVPs. I have never, ever seen anything like this on TV, out of TV, anything I've ever done. This is a full freaking body apparition. Jeez. All the way down with the dress down to the ground.
You see through that thing. You can literally see through it, dude. You can see the background as it walks through right there on the bottom.
But this time we get the whole uniform. We captured the whole thing that I think is probably a nurse.
Guess what? I'm sold.
The rest of the
man, it takes me back. That's crazy. It takes me back. Seeing that and then going in, I think what people don't understand is it was pitch black in there. And I mean, you know, these are old homes where they're the outside have windows, but the inside is very dark. And so when I went in and was trying to walk the same way that this apparition had, I was terrified of breaking things. I was scared I was going to walk into something that was worth a lot of money. Like it was because you can't see, couldn't see. Like there was no light. It was incredible.
I remember seeing that and I just jumped out my chair and I was like fist pumping. Yeah, this is awesome. Oh my God. Jeremy's reaction is really, he thinks I'm Australian, by the way. I did a podcast with him. He's like, hey, you're Australian. No, I'm English.
That's great.
He was like, play it again.
And then,
I'm sold.
Yep.
I was like, this is amazing. It's the best footage I've seen in a long, long time. It was amazing. And you could see right through her as well.
Yep. Yeah. And we went back to try to debunk it. Ben and I tried to debunk it, and because he knew he had to go back and give it the time it deserved. So we went on a day off. We had a day off one day and we went back and we did what we could to debunk it. There's a whole video on that he put up. But yeah, it was quite an experience.
Oh, you're so brave as well, sir. I mean, getting it, squeaky bum time, big time, dude. Get your boots on set, get in there and go reenact that. I would be like, not sure about that.
I literally was like, there is so many people in this RV that can go in there right now. Why me? And they're like, because you're the height. And I'm like, whatever. Yeah, so yep, went in.
Was it a great time working with those guys, Ben and
Yeah, I'll never forget it. It was truly, you know, I've done a lot of TV. I've done Conjuring Kesha. I've done Portals to Hell. I've done, I've done The Osbournes Want to Believe. I've done a lot of television, and my heart is with, you know, Jeremy and Ben. It was just, you know, an incredible team and an incredible experience.
I feel like it was your time to shine as well, you guys doing that.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was definitely. You made a mark making that show, and it was every episode on the edge of my seat. It was it was brilliant. And when you even did the history on some of the places, it all lined up and it all sort of click, 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 clicked into place. It was brilliant. Is there going to be a series two?
There's nobody's told me anything. They went on to do Ghosts of Devil's Perch with another team that did a great job, but they moved it to another location. So I haven't heard anything.
Oh, well, fingers crossed.
Yeah, that's all we can do, right?
Yeah, boost the old fan base. Guys, if you haven't watched Ghosts of Morgan City on I think it was on Netflix, wasn't it? No.
Travel Channel.
And Discovery Plus. You've got to watch it. It's worth a watch. Big time.
A lot of fun.
And also there was the other one, the Ghost Town Terrors. I watched a few episodes of that. It was really interesting. She just moved to the middle of nowhere, didn't she?
Yeah.
She said she was drawn to it, strangely enough.
Yeah. And she was drawn to it. She made the decision really quick to buy it. And she bought a ghost town. And it's an incredible property, incredible owner. They absolutely have so much paranormal activity going on there. It's a great place to check out.
What was the most scariest moment, do you think, in your whole career?
The whole career?
Yeah, well, I guess you could knock a few in there because I love hearing these things.
Okay, so I would say Ghosts of Morgan City, there's a scene where I go in to take the little ghost girl with me into the bedroom because Jeremy's yelling. Because he's like, no, get the knives away. You guys don't understand. This could go bad. So I take her into the bedroom. Well, my shirt, the shawl that I'm wearing, is pulled. And I was like, nope. Like in that moment, I was like, because you can see my whole shirt goes down, like it gets pulled. And I'm like, nope. So I start dancing around because I don't know what to do. I'm like, something's got a hold of me. Mm. I'm not going to lie. That scared me. That really did.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Ghost Town Terror. So we had two seasons. Season two, we go down into a huge cave system.
Yeah.
And when I first got down there, I was joking a lot. I was trying to keep everybody chipper. But then I started hearing things and seeing things. And yeah, that definitely put my hackles up, like where I was like very aware.
Oh geez.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. What's your husband think of all this? Is he all right? Like, do you not come home and sometimes find him rocking and crying in a corner?
No. He's actually said to me he can't wait. Like he's like, I can't wait till something happens. Now he's smelt things. Like we've had this last few months, some spirit that was with me that was smoking cigarettes. Now I figured out who it was and was able to pass on the message, but it was really interesting because he's like, cigarette smoke. And I was like, yeah. And I go, you smell it? He's like, yeah, nobody smokes around us. Nobody's in our house. Nobody. So it was like, he had the experience of where he was like, whoa, somebody is here. He was like, this is, you know. But yeah, he takes it with, he's real good. He's been on some investigations with me. So I'm proud of him.
Oh, yeah. You got to be strong-minded to do this kind of work, haven't you?
Yep.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're learning every day, like new skills to set? Sometimes something pops up that you think, oh, this is new.
Yeah. No, things things for me are always changing, and I'm grateful, and I'm ready to learn more. And I, you know, I want my guides and I want loved ones on the other side to know that I'm, you know, available for change and learning, you know, new things happen every day. And, you know, today even I was doing a reading and sign language came through. So not, it was really interesting. Yeah. And so it was just this awesome experience to go, oh, I can use my skills in that way too. So it's just, you know, it changes all the time. And I'm glad that it changes all the time.
Oh, good. Yeah. So it keeps it interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We've had a viewer has asked a question, Kat Noyce. She says, what is your favorite episode? I guess that's of Morgan City. Or actually, whatever favorite episode, it doesn't matter, whatever you've done.
I have, so one of my very favorite episodes is from Ghost of Morgan City. It's where we go out to, I can't remember what it was called, but there was an island. There was an island that we went out to, and we went out to investigate where another Jeremy had gone out, and he had done Naked and Afraid out there. And we went out there because he had something that followed him home. And it was an incredible episode. You can actually see where he has an attachment, and I'm moving the attachment off of him. But that's one of my very favorite episodes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever had anything follow you home, Sarah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Was it nice? Yeah. Or?
No, I came back from Ireland, one of my visits to Ireland, and there was something in my bedroom. I woke up to something in my bedroom snorting, and that's the only way I can explain it, was this, it sounded like a pig, and I was looking around, I couldn't see it, but it only could move right to left. It couldn't move forward and back. That's the only way I can explain it.
Oh, wow.
And so, of course, I had a dear friend that I called and said, what do I do? And they told me exactly what to do. But yeah, I've had all kinds of things follow me home.
You have the word demon gets thrown about quite a lot, doesn't it? And that all things, sometimes I think they're just pissed off spirits, you know? But what,
yeah, I
what
think
are your thoughts?
Demons are very rare. Demons
yeah.
are very, very, very rare. You know, I think that that word gets used too much, too often.
Yeah.
I think it's wrongly used. I think that, you know, there is a lot more. There's so many other things it could be other than a demon.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it lots of negative energy out there? And I guess if you've been banging around for eternity, you're going to be pretty peeved if someone comes up and asks you to move something or
yeah.
make a noise. I bet they're all stood around like, oh, not again.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. I also don't want to say that there's not, you know, demonic energy. So,
yeah.
you know, there's both. But I think that anymore, it's just something that's been focused on and is not necessarily always what's going on.
Yeah. Do you believe in like elementals and guardian angels? And I'm throwing them all in there now. Spirit guides. Do you communicate through spirit guides as well? Or
yes.
Just feelings?
Yeah. Yeah. I work with spirit guides a lot, especially with psychic readings, because they really like to tell on you. They like to say, you know, you're not eating right. You need to do this. You know, that your spirit guides are just really good at that. I absolutely believe in elementals because I've seen them. And I don't believe in everything. So it's, I'm not going to say that I believe in everything, but when you've seen them, then you can't question it.
No.
So I've seen them before. So I believe in them.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Well, sorry about that.
Oh, no, yeah, angels. You said something about angels.
Yeah,
angels. I absolutely believe in angels.
Yeah. Do you like, You do private readings as well, don't you, Sarah? And I was looking
yes.
on your podcast earlier and been stalking your podcast on YouTube and things like that. How can people get hold of you to do one of those?
Yep. So if you're ever looking for anything with me, it's always at mediumsaralemos.com. So everything is always there. I teach classes. I do readings. I do a lot of mentoring for people that are coming into their gifts. So if you're ready to learn, I have classes and all kinds of stuff.
And what's new for you, Sarah? Anything in the pipeline?
Really right now, you know, I'm really focused on growing my TikTok. So that's been a real focus for me. You know, I know it's controversial right now. We don't know what's going to happen, but I've really enjoyed building that. Again, really focusing on education for those that are ready to learn and open up their own gifts. And I'm headed, like I said, back to Louisiana next Friday, where I'm doing a Paracon, and then off to, I think it's Michigan. No, it's Massachusetts for another Paracon. So just a lot of Paracons coming up.
Fantastic. Yeah. Paul Kimber's just popped a question in. He's asked, Sarah, do you think some people can be energy drained as soon as they walk in a room because their energy disappears? Do you feel that the spirit can drain your energy?
Yeah, I do. I think that, you know, I do believe that. I do believe that spirit can use, we are all batteries, be it a battery in a phone, be it a battery in yourself. It's an energy that can be used. That's why I always tell people on investigations, always be very clear with your intention. Stating very clearly that you're welcome to use any batteries, just not me. Making that very clear, because we have power over this domain, what we say goes. So it's important to state that, and especially when you're an empath, somebody who's a feeler they can go after you pretty good.
Oh, wow. Have you ever had the opportunity to work with like the police or some sort of lost persons or anything like that? Or is that something you'd like to do?
So I've been contacted many times when, like, I a few years back had an amazing woman contact me about her son. He had been gone for 3 days and they were really worried. And so I tapped in and was like, oh, he's under a car. He's fixing it. And there's oil. And I said, he also didn't go the way he told you he was going to go because there was road work and his GPS took him around. So where he was supposed to meet up with someone, he didn't. He had car problems. Well, she says to me, I don't know, Sarah, he's got a brand new car. And I said, ma'am, all I can do is tell you what I see. He's not crossed over. He's under a car. He's fixing it. There's oil. And again, there was some sort of road work. So he took a different exit. And so he's not where he said he would be. And I said, he will contact you within the week. I said, you will know within a week. I said, but no, I do not think that your son has crossed. And so within a week, she calls me. She says, Sarah, he did exactly what you said. He was, yes. So I was like, you know, so not always is it something where I'm being contacted and the person is actually deceased. Sometimes, you know, in this field, you know, you actually are able to connect with someone who's alive and is okay.
Oh, that's fabulous. Oh, yeah. I was pleased about the last bit. He's all right.
Yeah. And she was just like, you're right. He was the car. He had an oil change before he left and they didn't do something or something like that. And so the car lost its oil and he had to go under and, you know, fix something. And so that was a good story. You know, I've been contacted by many who are not family members. And if you contact me and you're not a family member, I can't work with you. So I can only work with the family that is going through the situation. And some people get frustrated with me, but the truth is that I need a conduit. I need a connection point. And so, yeah. Oh, that's just in case they're still alive.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's a great way to, pinpoint. Paul Kimber's just asked a question again. He said, have you ever been in a situation that has almost made you give up on being an active medium?
Yes, that's a great question. So I think we all go through it. I think every psychic medium out there has a bad reading or has a bad experience. And they're like, you know what? I'm done. Yeah. After Ghost Town Terror, I went through there was several months where it was the energy that I was around and connected to I really thought about not, I thought, you know, just, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm done. Oh. I really am. And then I realized I don't do this for me. And it was so, I was like, I don't do this for Sarah. I do this for those on the other side. I'm a communicator. I am the cell phone. And so I just have to remind myself every once in a while, hey, Sarah, you do this for those on the other side. This isn't about you.
It must be an immense pressure though, Sarah. I mean, you're very selfless to do this kind of job because at the end of the day, it's a full-time job for you, isn't it? I guess it just doesn't stop. And there must be a point that you have reached, no doubt, sometimes where you think, you know what? Just want a bit of peace and quiet. But like you say, you're doing it for the right reasons, aren't you?
Yeah, I hope so. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, you know, that's also why I built up my TikTok was because on there, I will do free readings and I'll bring through spirit for those in my chat and gift that because, you know, I can only do so much. And so, but yeah, it does get overwhelming sometimes. So I get away when I can. If I'm in the forest or if I'm near the ocean, usually I can get a break. So I like to get out and get into nature.
Oh yeah. That'll help clear your mind as well.
Yeah.
Definitely give you a bit of peace. My husband is hovering. He is dying to ask you questions.
Yes.
Come on then, Nan.
Sorry, I'm just listening
I know I'm quick firing it, aren't I? Sorry.
Yeah, but I want to go back a few steps. You're saying about how you use your abilities and, you know, for us, like someone like me, when we go on an investigation, we get out our equipment. That's our way of trying to communicate with potential spirits in the location. Now, some spirits we know, they die in a tragic way. So they repeat the last moments that they can remember. For you, first part of my question, for you as a psychic medium, when you go in, do you have to explain what you can do and explain yourself to the spirits? Because they must be caught on edge. Like someone coming in, like if you go on a date and say, I'm a psychic medium, people might go, oh, wow. Do you feel the same response with spirits as well?
Usually, you know, I first go in and read the home or the house or the place first. So I think they notice that. I'm just being honest because when I go in, the first thing I do is read the property. Then I read the house or the, you know, whatever I can get energetically, what might be going on. And then I tap into the spirit unless they jump me. And if they, then you don't get to do any of the things that you thought you were going to do because they're going to start talking. So I think they watch me and, you know, in these circumstances and they're like, oh, do you want our 2 cents? And it's like, yes, absolutely. I want your 2 cents. But I, you know, I've only been in certain situations with certain earthbound energies where I say, I'm like, I want to help cross you if you want me to. I would never force a crossing. I don't believe in that.
No.
But I'd be like, you know, if you, and then I have to explain, well, so I'm a psychic medium and what I'm going to want to do is bring you into the light. And so this is how it's going to go. And then I go into this whole spiel of trying to explain what is about to happen because they've already been scared from that situation. And so I want to explain it the best way I can. But most of the time, I don't think I've ever had to explain to a spirit, this is how I work, necessarily. And they damn well know that I can feel. They know immediately that I can feel.
You're like a beacon, aren't you? Like a lighthouse.
Yeah, that's the way it's been explained. I've never seen it, but the way friends have explained it to me is that, you know, we're a beacon and we need to be careful because they can see us.
Wow.
And then, as I was saying, some spirits, people say, if they've died in a tragic way, they repeat the last moments that they can remember. So they're re-going over. Are you able to sort of draw them away from that repetitive motion that they're going through to try and communicate with them? Or do they ignore you and not realize that you're there because of the way they died and the way they've gone through that motion? Are you able to still communicate with them?
No. So there's certain energies that I don't know, even if this, you know, I still don't know if the spirit is actually there or if it's just the chaos of what occurred. So for me, okay. So there's a two parts to this. So for me, when I'm in that situation and it's, I feel like it's like residual energy. The thing is I can read the residual energy like a book. Like I can literally tell you, oh, there's a female here. I can tell you what the history says, that she fell down the stairs because here she goes again. And, you know, this is what she remembers. And here she goes again. Like I can read that energy, but I don't know that that's communicating with the energy. So I can read it like I'd read a book, but I'm not necessarily communicating like, let's talk this through, if that makes sense.
There's the stone type theory as well, isn't there? If you go into an old building and then the walls hold memories, is that something that you can connect to as well?
Yes. So that's why I usually read the house first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's because I want to see where it's coming from.
I don't know if you kind of want to answer this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So with filming, you know, there's a lot of, you know, negative to the filming side of things, unfortunately. Like people have their opinions, which they're entitled to.
Absolutely.
Just for you as a psychic, you put your reputation on the line when you're going on TV. How much say do you have in the way you present yourself? Like you say, if they say that they want you to do something, are you happy to say, no, that's not for me, I will not do something like that? Like, how
I'm known for that. So if you watch Ghost Town Terror 2, I split the team right down the middle. There's a point where I say, no, like and they film it and it's very clear that you're not going to push me. It's very clear that I'm, you know, so no. And I have rules and they know it. So I'm to know nothing, absolutely nothing, except where I'm flying to. So the length of the time that I'm going to be there and where I'm flying for safety, because my family needs to know where I am for safety in case something happens.
Yeah.
But other than that, I am to know nothing. I am to know absolutely nothing because I don't want anything to tarnish. So I will know I'm flying into this place, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to be investigating anywhere near that. So absolutely. And I put my foot down. If I feel like there's something that, you know, I don't see it, then I don't see it. If I'm not experiencing it, I'm not experiencing it. But honestly, you know, I think it's weird how people, you know, there's a lot of assumption on how we work in film and things like that, where it's like, no, it doesn't work like that. Like, no, you know, and we stay true to ourselves. You know, I don't know, you know, all I can say is I stay true to myself and I'm not going to be pushed or bent or manipulated. I stand in what I believe and I stand in what I think.
Yeah.
And I also say, maybe I'm wrong. That doesn't mean I'm always right. You know, I'm not perfect. And, you know, what I see or what I feel may not be what other team members are seeing and feeling themselves.
As paranormal investigators, when we take our guests on ghost hunts, we always say to them, you know, there's no guarantee. They're not performing monkeys at the end of the day. You might get nothing. You might have a whole night of paranormal activity, but then again, you might just get little bits. Yeah, it's down to the energy that you bring to the table as well, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think people need to understand that when something is moved physically, when something is moved, that's different than what you might experience in your physical body. So I think people on investigation want to see something. They want to see it with their own eyes. And I respect that, but it doesn't always work that way. People want to hear things like a knock, you know, a knocking. It doesn't always happen that way, because if I'm not a very physical person in living, like I didn't knock shit over and didn't, you know, I'm not going to do that on the other side. And I didn't walk around knocking on walls. There's a good chance I'm not going to knock on a wall in, you know, in my death.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've done quite a bit of TV now. But do you still feel like it's the first time every time you do it? Like you get nervous and, you know, and the like people that come to you and say, we want you to do something, you know, what are their reactions? Because a lot of people don't believe in it. Some people are like, but especially behind the scenes, do you get people that are not sure about what you do? What's it like working with people that don't necessarily believe in what you do?
I love it. I absolutely love it. A lot of times I end up giving readings or telling them things that make them go, what? You can't know that. And I'm like, ha, ha, ha. So I love it. I love it. Yeah, you do. You work with people. I work with so many people who are non-believers. They've never had an experience, which, you know, I can only respect. But I love to work with people like that. I love to be like, all right, so let's roll. Let's see what I can get.
I'm not sure Sarah could even shout this one out, but Paul Kimbers just put one.
Have you ever come across fake mediums who are quite clearly making stuff up? Did you call them out, or would you call them out? That's a question.
I'm actually, just so you know, I have done that. There are situations in my local, in the sense of my local community, where there was a group that was selling candles and they were selling them for like $700 and you had to do this certain thing and the da 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 da. And I went on Facebook and made it very clear that this was dangerous, that this isn't true. Like, then they would, after they'd sell you the candle, then they'd tell you had an attachment and for $900, they could remove the attach. Like, it was this scam. Wow. And so I was like, no, we're not having that. That's not okay. So I came out about it.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Does it make it harder for you though? Where, you know, again, you know, this is just me asking an honest question, but there, unfortunately, there is people that play, like mediums that play on people's emotions, especially if they're, someone comes in and they've lost someone that they love dearly, you know, and they just want to know, you know, and they play on the emotions. They watch the eye contact, they watch the movements to sort of guide the way they're going. Yeah. You know, does it make it harder for you when you're trying to reach out to these people and say, look, I can do this properly? You know, you must get some negative flack because of other people. Would that be?
If I might add to that, Nando, that a true medium will know stuff that only you would know. So it's like you're attaching yourself to their heart. They know you're telling them the truth.
But how do you separate? How do you separate yourself? Like with TikTok, you know, where everyone's on TikTok, we're on TikTok, and I've got to say it can be quite a volatile place. Yeah. So I've seen that you do your lives quite often, and you're quite, you know, you're just flowing through, you're doing your bit. But there's been a few occasions where you get some nasty comments in there, you know, and it's because of other people. You're just branded with the same, you know, with the same brand because of that. How do you separate yourself from that and maintain a focus to say, I'm going to continue, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing?
I think what's important is, yes, you're right. And there are people out there that Google stuff, and there are people that pray, you know, watch for wedding rings or, you know, certain things. At least that's what I've heard, you know, that people, you know, this is what then, and this is why people feel this way. But what I can do is I can stand in my truth. And my truth is my job is to bring forth information from the other side and hand it to people in a way that they will understand. So that proof is understood, right? So I bring through evidential, I'm an evidential medium. So I bring through evidence that I'm communicating with your loved ones. The only reason I do that is so that you will believe that you are connected so you can receive their message. So every time I do a reading, I don't just bring proof that I'm talking to the person. At the end, I bring through a message. And to me, that message means more than anything. Yes. And it's because the person on the other side is wanting to bring this you know, message through. And even though I think it was the other day, somebody said something negative came through, and I don't read them. I don't read the negative stuff. I learned early on from Ben Hansen from Ghost of Morgan City, don't do that. Jack Osborne also helped me through that and said, Sarah, if you don't trust that person, you don't trust what they say, because it is hard. it is hard. And you know, I just say to myself, be true to yourself, stand in who you are, and give the message as pure as you can. And those that are meant to hear the message will.
Then that's the best way.
Yeah.
100%. You're not there to make anyone believe or prove, all these skeptics that think, oh, prove to me this, prove to me that. You're just delivering the message, and whether or not you just take it as it was, and you're being true to yourself. And I honestly believe that, Sarah.
So do you feel in a way this has made you quite resilient and quite hard?
Strong.
You know, with strong. The way you deal with situations then?
Yeah, I think that I've learned, you know, there's times where I go into compassion and understand, and then I'm a human and I get pissed. Like, there's a part of me that's like, okay, what is going on here? Like that, what? And then there's times where I go, oh, it's, you know, many non-believers are that way because they saw something and it scared them so bad, or they heard something and it scared them so bad that it didn't happen and no one else can do it and nothing's true and nothing's real. And so I have to look at situations and go, oh, it's okay. You probably got the tar scared out of you at some point. And you know, and, or, you know, and the same thing with my mediumship skills and my psychic abilities, guys, I'm not scared to be wrong. I'm not afraid to be wrong. I am always learning. I am always growing. Yeah. And if I'm wrong, I want someone to say to me, nope, that doesn't make sense. Now, do I believe that I'm wrong? No, because I'm getting my information from spirit. I know they'll come back to me in a week or two and say, Sarah, oh, shoot. You know what? You were right. It's not me. Yeah. It's not Sarah Lemos that's doing this. Okay. I am just the conduit. I'm just the telephone.
Yeah.
And so I can take it personal, but that's like saying my cell phone gets upset when, you know, it's buzzy or the frequency's off. My cell phone doesn't care. So I have to remind myself, I'm only the tool. I'm only the REM pod. I'm only the recorder. I'm only the tool. So when I do take things personal, I remind myself, stop that. Stop that. That's not why you're here.
No, that's a great attitude. As paranormal investigators, we don't class ourselves as experts or anything like that. We're just learning all the time and enjoy what we're doing, and then taking members of the public with us to try and open themselves up to the world that they might have had experiences as well. Yeah. And it's fun, it's scary, but it's also, it connects to you in a spiritual way that makes you think, you know what, maybe there is something out there. Maybe.
Yeah.
Are we ready for our last question?
I've got another question.
Oh, go on then. And I'll ask the last question.
I've got one more question.
One more question.
Okay?
Yeah, honey.
No. So you've been on quite a journey with your mediumship, you know, developing your own skills, and from quite a young age, which is quite difficult because you're learning, you're growing up, and, you know, you're experiencing different things as you grow up. If someone was in the same position as you, what advice would you give them to guide them through?
You did see it, you did hear it, you did feel it, and it's okay. You're not crazy. That, keep going, keep learning, keep growing. Don't believe everything you hear. Take what you want, leave the rest, and find someone to share your truth with. If you have paranormal stories, find a paranormal group to share your truth with. If you're a metaphysic, psychic, medium, find a group that you can share your truth with, because we have been beaten down. We will continue to be beaten down. We will constantly be told we're either liars or we talk to demons, or we will be told we are sick and we are, you know, we need medical, whatever. The reality is you know what you saw, you know what you felt, you know what you heard. Find a community that will sit with you in it.
That's a great TikTok. We'll cut that and we'll tag you into it. That'll go viral, man.
That's a lovely way
Brilliant.
Of answering, because the reality is people get put down that they got mental health issues when they, and I'm sure you've experienced that in some ways.
Oh yeah.
And it's just important for, we get a lot of people that watch, and they watch you know, on playback. And if someone's experiencing things, that was a great way to just sort of...
And they're scared as well, aren't they? So... They're really terrified. I can imagine a teenager or a young child thinking, what on earth is going on here?
Life is hard as it is.
Yeah, having to deal with seeing ghosts.
Like you've had, to have something extra and trying to work out, well, I'm going through this. I'm, you know, how do I deal with it all? So I just want to say thank you for answering my questions. I'm going to leave you with Sarah.
No, stop it. You might as well. You're here now. Last question, fun question, Sarah. This is the very last question. So, you're having a dinner party. You've got some nice vino in. You've cooked a lovely steak or a roast dinner or whatever you fancy if you're a vegetarian. Now, you can invite three people that have passed in spirit world that you idolise. Who would you invite? And they're going to come alive for that night, so you can have a nice chin wag. You can have a few glasses. Who would you invite to that dinner party?
Well, that's a good question.
I like that question.
Incredible question. You know, Houdini.
Ooh,
I'm inviting Houdini because I've been in his energy and I want to know if I'm right or wrong. So I would definitely want to sit with him. I think I would also call in or would want to connect with, why can't I think of his name right now? I'm going to have to pick someone else. You know, I would say, I can't think of his name. He was in Ghostbusters. He's the only one that is Frost in Ghostbusters. I can't think of his name right now. And I would ask, and they've done a wonderful job bringing him back into the story.
He played Egon, didn't he?
Egon Spengler.
He played Egon. And that's, I would definitely, because I would want to know what he thought about filming that television show, what he thought about being a part of it all. So I would definitely have him there. Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, I would just open it up to spirit. And I would say, send me someone that will bring some peace into my heart, to intrigue something in my mind. I think I would open up the space to an opportunity, because even though I think I might know who I want there, spirit always knows better.
Oh, that's lovely. That's a great way to end this evening, or your lunchtime, should I say, over where you are. It's been an honor, Sarah. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry, I appreciate you guys. But I'm just overwhelmed to be in your presence, because I'm so excited.
It's been great. You know, the way you answer your questions, and you're very honest and open about,
yeah,
you know, I think it was great, and we appreciate that, because I think,
Sarah,
what we're trying to do is show people that, you know, there is good people out there and do an honest job, and I think you've just come across perfectly with the way you've answered everything. So thank you for taking the time out of your day.
Yeah, of course.
I'm sorry that I gate crashed it a little
Will you be coming to the UK anytime soon, do you think?
Not anytime soon. I would love to, if there was a Paracon or something, I would be there in a heartbeat. I love it over there.
Where have you been? Have you been to Ireland? Have you been anywhere else than Ireland?
England. I've been to England, I think twice. I've been all over Ireland. Yeah.
Make sure you do that ancestry. You'll be amazed.
I will. I'm serious. I promise I will.
They've got 40% off at the moment.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You're selling it, aren't you?
I am. Okay.
But no, it's been great. It's been great catching up with you and, you know, just getting to know what you've been doing and just amazing to hear your journey through this. So thank you very much joining us again.
And if there's any questions that we missed, we'll message you after. I've had a look down the line there. I haven't really seen anybody else message any questions. But yeah, thank you very much.
It's been great.
You're welcome, guys. And anytime you want me back, you just give me a call.
We will do. Take care, Sarah. And thank you so much for a great night.
Yes. Take care, guys.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So what a great, I've sort of gate crashed this.
I don't mind. She was amazing, wasn't she?
Yeah, lovely. I think personally, the last question about what advice you would give, that was a great way to answer that. That was beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
As always, we just want to say thank you for everyone that's joined. and supported the podcast. We appreciate you all. Just a bit of a heads up for everyone in the UK that are going to join us on any of our investigations. We've got some up there coming up. So we've got Withering Manor in May.
Yeah.
We've got Nuns Cross.
A sleepover
one. So if you want to push yourself out of your comfort zone, that's definitely one to do. We've got Fort Whitley coming up.
The amazing
Margan Castle.
Margan Castle, which is on for £40.
Reduced from 45 to 40.
Only till Sunday, though.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to join us on any of these investigations, please go over to www.portaltotheparanormal.co.uk and join us. We look forward to seeing you. But for now, we just want to thank everyone for joining.
Thank you.
And enjoy your weekend. And we'll see you soon.
Ciao for
now. Bye, everyone.
Bye.